How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
The Oddity News.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of The Oddity News. I'm Dave Wirtz, and with me, as always, is my co-anchor, Hamilton Burger.
Hamilton Burger.
Also known as PC Tunney. Tony, how are you doing this week? Are you watching all the Olympics that you can?
No, I'm not. I'm usually Olympics out by the end of the Olympics. Like, I was looking to see if
Olympics out. It's been like 2 weeks, not even.
Yeah, it's enough. Let's get it over with. I got Little League baseball to watch. I got, you know.
Hold on. You can't be like, the Olympics? What a pathetic showing. I need to watch Little League baseball.
The Little League World Series is great, man. Hey, listen.
I get that.
I never competed. But for you to be... I never competed in qualifying for the Olympics. I competed and qualified for the Little League World Series.
Oh, look at you. All right. Okay. Wild stab. I'm going to go with... right field.
Go fuck yourself. You know I was a pitcher, asshole.
All right. Fair enough. Well, as always, welcome to the Oddity News, your weekly dose of all the positive and hilarious, well, maybe not positive at sometimes, but all the hilarious things that happen in your day-to-day life. Because let's just be honest, we don't need to focus on the negative. Let's just be real. Tony, I heard you told me initially that it was quite a challenge for you this week. I have quite a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different things. So don't worry. I got you covered.
Let me go first so I get at least one story that you don't. Well... we'll keep it family, we'll keep it friendly, and what better place for a family-friendly story than Disneyland honors free admission ticket won by California man in 1985. A ticket for free admission to Disneyland that was given to a California man in 1985 was honored by the park when his daughter attempted to use it 39 years later. Scott King visited Disneyland during the 30th anniversary celebrations on August 28th, 1985. At the time, they were giving away a lot of prizes. One was a Cadillac Seville. I thought I had won a car, King told KTLA-TV. The prize turned out to be a Disney passport ticket for free admission to the park. When I got there, they awarded me with a big ticket and an I Am a Winner badge. And I said, what about the Cadillac? And they laughed and said, not today, buddy. King said he ended up putting the ticket into a scrapbook where it remained forgotten for 39 years. My daughter decided that she wanted to go to Disneyland with her boyfriend, King said. She was telling me about how expensive it was now and everything, and I said, you know, I have a ticket. Let me see if I can grab it. He said his daughter, Sabrina, 18, had more than earned a trip to Disney. She just graduated high school with a 4.3 valedictorian of her class, and this is something she deserves for all the hard work she did, he said. Which makes me think here, as I don't think we've done this in many of the stories, stopped and had an editorial in the middle. He couldn't have just footed the money if she deserved it so much. He had to use like a old. I'll keep reading.
You know what I normally say to that? Jewish.
Sabrina King. And
look, we know all too well. We know all too well.
Sabrina King and her boyfriend Ruben took the Disney passport to the park and brought it to a ticket taker. My daughter handed the ticket to admissions, and the man collecting tickets was so animated, saying this was a really rare thing. A park manager signed off on the 39-year-old passport, and Sabrina King entered the park for free. Pretty cool story.
Yeah, you know what? When you're Disney World / land, just Disney, they can afford to, you know, honor one ticket.
Listen,
from 1985.
The amount of good press they've gotten is worth way more than the amount of money they would have made for that young lady to buy a ticket.
I know. If it makes you feel any better, too, Tunny, I did have that story.
I know. I could see it in your eyes.
A 19th century shipwreck has been discovered, and it's been filled with champagne bottles. Oh, no. Tunny's shaking his head.
No. Well, it's good. It's good. I didn't put this one on my list. I left it off.
Okay,
I've seen it. I've seen it, though.
It's a great story. Out in Copenhagen, Denmark, no one will be allowed to fish out any of the nearly 100 bottles of 19th century champagne and mineral water nestled in a shipwreck off of southern Sweden without proper authorization, officials said on Wednesday. Though the wreck's location has been known since 2016 and registered in Sweden's National Antiquities Office in the cultural environment, it was only on July 11th that Polish scuba divers found the precious cargo. The wreck, which sits about 58 meters deep off the coast of the southern Sweden country of, oh dear Lord, Blekinge, was found by the divers while they were checking spots of interest about 37 kilometers or 20 nautical miles south of the Swedish Baltic Sea island of Åland.
Maybe that's why I skipped this story, so I didn't have to read all those cities.
Fair enough. Wine and water experts have quickly contacted the divers and been vying to carry out laboratory tests on the contents of the bottles, according to the divers' leader, Tomas Stachura. However, Swedish authorities have put their foot down and labeled the sunken ship as, quote, an ancient relic, which the country says requires another, quote, of a clear and strong protection, to, end quote, to remain intact. Officials said you must not damage the ancient remains, which also include taking items from the wreck, champagne bottles, without permission from the country. Magnus Johansson of the county official told the Associated Press, the champagne bottles are fantastically well-preserved, find that gives us a snapshot of shipping and life on board at the end of the 19th century. Are you a champagne man there, Tunny?
I think I've accepted more offerings of a glass of champagne than I've turned down.
You look like isn't there like a screwdriver, like with a bit of champagne sparkled in? I don't know. I don't drink champagne. I like hard liquor. What's champagne gonna do?
I'm usually pretty gentle.
Oh, look at that. Liquor, I hardly knew her.
I used to drink a lot of gin, then I switched to vodka. Now I just drink Miller Lite and a little bit of whiskey.
Oh, I don't hear too many people switching from gin to vodka. Usually it's the other way around.
Well, this was years ago. I was younger, like mid-20s, and I got very angry when I drank gin.
Oh, I thought you said you were a gentle soul.
In the love department.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe you're an angry lover.
I'm not.
Angry lover.
You and
that's Tool. What you are.
You and Tool can have that prison sex to yourself. All right, let's keep it rolling on here. Which one on the docket should we choose? Any, mini, miney? Yeah, let's go with this one right here. Reddit user kicked out of wedding reception for ordering pizza when bride's family devours buffet. A Reddit user who was kicked out of a wedding after he ordered pizza when the reception ran out of food should have been more discreet and behaved himself better, an etiquette expert told Fox News Digital, although the story does have a happy ending. Oh boy. AITA, am I the asshole for ordering pizza at my friend's wedding because there was no food? Asked user Adorable Distance 15 in a recent post on the Am I the Asshole subreddit and advice forum. In the post, the man said he and his wife recently attended his friend's wedding, which had about 70 guests, mostly family. When we got there, we were seated at a table with some other people, nice people, and we mingled well and had a good time chatting, he wrote. The wedding was also quite nice. Both my friend and his new wife were very happy. After the wedding ceremony, the tables were all given 2 bottles of wine, bread and butter, and the bar was opened, he said. Then the food came out. It looked really good, he said, noting that the wedding reception was buffet style. I was half buzzed and looking forward to getting some food in my belly, he added. Now, let me take a moment out here. Dave, you and I both know what it's like to be at a wedding and you're drinking and you know that the food's coming and you're like, okay, perfect. It's like, it's one of the best parts of the night because you know if you have any chance of making it till the end of the night, you gotta put a good amount of food away here. So I can understand the problems we're about to encounter here. When dinner began...
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, I look for the food first before I even like start to think about drinking. You know, maybe that's not a true Wisconsinite, but, you know, I'm a type 1 diabetic, so I got to make sure that I'm not dying later.
Well, the last wedding I went to, which was almost a year ago now, you know, they had alcohol before the ceremony outside, so there was a drink there. Then afterwards, there was like a 2-hour mingling and open bar before the food came out. So it's like, I mean, I almost drank a whole bottle of vodka in between then and, you know, the dinner. So the dinner was very important.
You're damn straight.
You're damn straight it is. All right, let's continue. When dinner began, tables were then called up to the buffet a few at a time, he said. The first few tables that were called were understandably for the family on both sides. This is a tradition all over the country. This, however, was when the problems began. Now, I don't shame people for how much they eat, but I noticed the helpings of food they had while I was patiently waiting for us to be called, he said. I also noted that they went for seconds before all the tables were called and no one stopped them. At the time,
hell no.
At the time, AD15 said that he thought that behavior was rude. He assumed there was just a lot of food. Yeah, going to seconds before everybody else gets first. That's just
faux pas among faux pas.
Capital faux, capital pa. He added, to my surprise, by the time we were called, there was nothing left. After grabbing the scraps that were left, we were all still pretty hungry and a bit angry, he said. So we kind of bash talked that the first few tables ate all the food. After someone suggested getting pizza, AD15 had the drunken idea of ordering some. So we all pitched in and ordered 4 large pizzas and some chicken wings from a local pizza joint close to the venue, so it didn't take long to be delivered. I met the guy outside and brought the food to our table, and we started to eat. Other tables of hungry people noticed the food, so we shared with them. This caused some commotion, apparently, and people began asking the wedding party if there were more pizzas available. My friend came to talk to me about why I ordered the food. His bride was not happy about it. So I told him that we didn't get to eat and that the food ran out long before our table was called and we were really hungry. What were we supposed to do? Starve? But the wedding's dramatics continued when the bride's father noticed the leftover pizzas. This is where I maybe was the asshole, AD15 wrote. There were 2 slices left and I knew he was eyeing them. I asked the other people at my table if they wanted one. Everyone declined. This guy then said he'd have one. I then took the 2 slices, I put them on my plate and started to eat them. Then looked at him and said something like, no, you and everyone at your tables had way more than your fair share of the buffet and ate all of it. This is the reason we ordered food in the first place. And now you have the nerve to ask us to share? At the time, he didn't know it was the bride's father. The man's face went red and he returned to his table where there was a lot of discussion going on over there. The bride looked even more ticked off at us. She had a bit of an argument with a friend. He eventually came back to tell us we had to leave. I didn't mean to start any problems, so me and my wife called a cab and left. A few days after the wedding, AD15's friend called and shared his side of the story. He agreed that his in-laws were really rude for eating all the food and leaving most of the other guests with very little. He said, mentioning that about half the guests left the wedding reception once there was no food left. He was upset with his in-laws because he told them how many guests there would be and to order the food for that many people. He brought this up with his wife, and she had apparently, because the in-laws paid for the alcohol and the food, they felt entitled to eat whatever they wanted. She was really mad at them and reamed them out for tainting her special day. In an update, AD15 wrote that his friend's wife was more upset than he initially said, but not at him. She was angry with her family.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you right now, I will shove half a fucking pizza down my gullet before I share any with that family.
See, here the greater lesson here is, if you're a parent of someone of a child and your child's getting married and you're offering to contribute to the wedding, A, be comfortable with the amount you're going to contribute, and B, be comfortable with whatever is going to happen at that wedding, because it's not your wedding, right? It's like giving someone a gift for their birthday. If I gave you $100 for your birthday, Dave, and you're like, oh, that's great. And I said, but here's how you have to spend it. That's not so great anymore, is it?
No. Look, I would tell you right now, I would not care one iota if people were like, oh, no, we're gonna order a pizza. I'm sure, be my guest. Also, like, let's just be frank. That person that submitted that was like table 12.
Yeah.
Like, we already know that they're not really close to the bride and groom.
But here's the thing, though. Like, the groom afterwards said, oh, you know, we did mess up because, like, almost half the people actually left when there was no food. So, yeah. I mean, in all honesty,
do better.
Right. The bride and groom should have been more happy that they actually got a few people to stay.
All right. Well, look, I'll continue the food trends. A woman, California woman specifically, Jenna Gestiner, is a 21-year-old from Los Angeles, California, and was diagnosed with mast cell activation syndrome at a young age. But she has recently come to light explaining more about her disorder. MCAS, also as it's known as, is a condition which a patient experiences repeated episodes of symptoms of anaphylaxis, also known as allergic symptoms such as hives, swelling, low blood pressure, difficulty breathing, and severe diarrhea. Well, her Jenna Gassner MCAS is so severe, she is only allowed to eat 13 foods on her personal menu. And I wanted to kind of make this a little bit more engaging. So I wanted to see where you are at, Tunny, with these 13 foods, okay? I had them right here. Where is it?
While you look, it's funny because DP has no allergies and will only eat 6.5 types of foods.
You picky some bitch. Damn you, DP. All right, here, the 13 foods that Ms. Gassner says she can eat are whitefish, turkey, green beans, zucchini, cucumber, lime, dates, grapes, raspberries, pears, chia seeds, olive oil, and my favorite one, water lily seeds.
I mean,
where do you think you're? That feels just like a Mediterranean meal.
I guess when you get cut down to that few of foods, you start adding in, like, dates and seeds to the main parts of your diet.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what I had for dinner tonight?
Oh, no.
Okay, keep going then.
Oh, that was more scary, oh no, rather than telling you no. Yeah, she says she realizes that her symptoms, such as pain, nausea, fatigue, dizziness, and others, became worse when she was eating certain foods. The more that I would eat those certain foods, the worse reactions I would get, Gassner said. By eliminating these foods, Gassner said she saw her symptoms improve. She is working with a couple of students at the University of South California, or USC, and said that hopefully she is looking to grow her food menu in time.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
I wished her the best of luck.
All right, I'm going to, let's, rather than what are the 13, rather than asking you what you just had, what are the 13 most recent food items you ate?
Well, I had spaghetti and meatballs for lunch.
All right, so that's tomatoes, meat, and noodles. Okay, noodles. Good. Probably oregano.
I had a couple cheese dogs for dinner tonight and beans.
Jesus.
And okay. Beans, Franks and beans. You know.
Oh my God! All right.
It's a light. It's a light dinner though, because where I work, we have lunch every day for us. Like, we have a chef in the cafeteria, so my main meal is at work for free, and then I come home and eat a light meal. Just to explain it. The breakfast sandwich. So eggs, bacon, croissant.
More grains. Good.
Yeah. Is that 13 yet? No.
That's like 9 maybe.
For lunch yesterday,
maybe 10.
For lunch yesterday, I had chicken marsala with rice.
Oh, that's way more than, that's 13 ingredients right there.
With rice and broccoli and cauliflower.
Yeah. Yeah. good God. Did you have another story there, Tunny?
I do. And you're going to hear it right after this commercial break. You're listening to The Oddity with Dave Wirtz and PC Tunny right here on Chairshot Radio Network.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Dave, I wanted to tell you that dolphins deliberately getting high on pufferfish nerve toxins by carefully chewing and passing them around.
Puff, puff, pass, baby.
Puffer, puffer, fish, pass.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of goes with the Olympics, though. Snoop's out there. Did you see him dancing for the dressage horse? It was kind of weird. Extraordinary scenes filmed for new documentary showing the marine mammals in their natural habitats. Dolphins are thought of as one of the most intelligent species in the animal kingdom, and experts believe they have put their ingenuity to use in the pursuit of getting high. In extraordinary scenes filmed for a new documentary, young dolphins were seen carefully manipulating a certain kind of pufferfish, which, if provoked, releases a nerve toxin. Though large doses of the toxin can be deadly in small amounts, it's known to produce a narcotic effect, and the dolphins appear to have worked out how to make the fish release just the right amount. Carefully chewing on the puffer and passing it between one another, the marine mammals then enter what seems to be a trance-like state. The behavior was captured on camera by makers of Dolphins, Spy in the Pod, a series produced for BBC. Rob Pilley, a zoologist who also worked as a producer on the series, told the Sunday Times, "This was a case of young dolphins purposely experimenting with something we know to be intoxicating. After chewing the puffer gently and passing it round, they began acting most peculiarly, hanging around with their noses at the surface as if fascinated by their own reflection." Are you up for a little puffer puffer pass, Dave?
You know, it's the one thing I had to focus on when you said that story was that it was young dolphins. These are preteen dolphins experimenting, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's not some old seasoned dolphins, you know, dolphins with cataracts. or dolphins having stress or anxiety, right? No, those dolphins take like over-the-counter meds, over-the-counter pufferfish. And these are young dolphins. They're getting their puffers illegally. And look, I'm just going to say, Trump, Kamala, one of you got to do something about this. Get on it.
Do we need a do we need an oceanic dare program?
Yeah, I mean, we should be calling like OSHA at the very least. I just wanted to go off the ocean. Hazardous work environments, man. Gunny, in a new study conducted by not one but two sets of colleges, Penn State and Columbia College in Chicago, has published a journal in the journal PLOS One, found that children whose parents use humor as a parenting tool had close relationships with their parents, closer relationships with their parents, and believed that their parents did a good job raising them. Basically, dad jokes are a key to a good and healthy relationship with your children. Now, there is one added thing to this that I wanted to do. In the Guinness Book of World Records, the record for most dad jokes said in a minute is 26, which seems very low.
You'd have to find the shortest dad jokes to sort of the 26 shortest dad jokes.
I don't know if this was freeballed or what, but I would like you to grab your phone out.
Are you gonna?
We are gonna try to tell 26, 27 dad jokes in a minute.
We are, or
I
you
feel,
are?
I thought I would try.
Okay.
I feel like this is a very achievable goal.
I don't know 26 dad jokes.
Oh, don't worry.
I know a few.
I definitely do.
Okay. All right. Okay, I'm ready when you are. Should I just say ready, set, go? All
right. I would say go when you hear me talking. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. What does a baby computer call his father? Data. Let's see. I only get stuck on weekdays. I have a weakened immune system. What do you call a Frenchman wearing sandals? Flippy floppy. What brand of underwear do scientists wear? Calvin Klein. Which days are the strongest? Saturday and Sunday. The rest are weekdays. I just found out that I'm colorblind. The new name came out purple. Let's see. My wife asked me the other day where I got so much candy. I said I always have a few Twix up my sleeve. How many cows stay up late? They read the newspaper. Oh crap! I hate my job. All I do is crush cans. It's so depressing. What pirates get their hooks? Secondhand stores. In America, using the metric system can get you in legal trouble. Let's see. What do you call a line of men waiting to get haircuts? A barbecue. Who were the greenest presidents in U.S. history? The Bushes. Oh, man, I am definitely slower than I thought. What do you call a beehive without an exit? Unbelievable. There it is.
Ding.
That wasn't 27.
How many did you get?
But I wanted to see. I don't know. I wasn't counting. I figured you would.
I didn't. I was listening. It wasn't 26.
We'll have to go over and listen to the tape.
It wasn't 26, I'll tell you that.
No, that was, honestly, it feels definitely a little bit harder.
Do you want to know my favorite dad joke?
Oh, all right.
How come the lifeguard couldn't save the hippie? He was too far out, man.
Oh, good one.
Badoom.
My favorite one as of late is I went to Walmart and I sustained rather egregious injuries after a ton of toilet paper fell on me. Yeah, I have soft tissue damage.
That was a literal eye-rolling groan, folks, even though you couldn't.
I'll tell you right now, I am bad at trying to break that one because I am a long walk joke teller. So like that's why I can't do it. All my jokes end up being a little too wordy. At least my puns. But I will say I am a pun league champion. So thank you very much.
How do you throw a space party?
Make sure it's out of this world.
You plan it.
With what do you my other favorite one was what do you call it when Batman leaves church? Christian Bale.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. We're gonna have to practice this, and maybe we can break a record by the end of the year.
What if it alternated? We told.
Ooh, all right. We'll have to see what that's
36.
Like.
36. last story here from Mr. Tony this week. Farm struggles to stop people from stripping in sunflower fields.
Hell yeah.
Some people just can't resist being at their most natural in nature. A family farm in the UK have had to go to new lengths to deter visitors from stripping off in the sunflower fields. Yep, Stoke Fruit Farm now has a few new signs which read, "No public nudity." Considering the UK's weather conditions, nudity is not very common in public places there. But Sam Sunflowers, part of Stoke Fruit Farms on Hayling Island near Portsmouth Coast, just seems to bring out a more extroverted side to people. When they're not partaking in the activity, the fields are actually meant for sunflower picking. It seems visitors often strip off and pose in the fields for their perfect photo, usually for Instagram. The farm owners do encourage photos in general, of course, and even offer an array of props, including a grand piano, bathtub, and tractor scattered among the 2 million sunflowers. But this year, there was nudity. A lot of nudity. According to the BBC, one visitor said her son saw a woman wearing just a thong and didn't know where to look. I know where I would have looked. Farm owner Sam Wilson told the BBC there were reports of 4 naked photo shoots since July 28th and August 17th, 3 of which were on the same day. So he decided to put up stern signs around the farm. No public nudity. And above that is a red circle with a line through it. And in that circle is just a pair of legs with underwear around their ankles.
Hell yeah. That's a tattoo right there.
That is here. You guys want to? It's from the Huffington Post UK. You guys can find that story if you would like to see the sign, Dave. There's the sign.
Hell yeah! That is hilarious. It's an amazing picture.
I have never been in a field of sunflowers, so I am going to hold back judgment on whether or not I would be provoked to strip off, as they would like to say across the pond.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
Oh, Tiny Tim, right?
Hell yeah. I ain't getting that high in my tip-toe vocal range right
through
now.
Through the tulips, through the tulips.
Yeah. Tony, I'm surprised you didn't grab this one. I feel like it's right up your alley. Florida International University has a new sponsor for their football stadium. I already see you shaking your heads because you know exactly what it is, Tony. Well, guess what? A $1.2 million per year for 5 years to allow the, I believe FIU is the Owls. Am I right?
I thought so too as I was reading this story, so I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Yes, yeah, so the Owls will be playing at Pitbull Stadium. That's right. Mr. 305 is the new sponsor and becomes the first school ever to have an athletics building named after a musician. This is quite a momentous occasion. Pitbull did speak up to this matter. For me, what it boils down to is Miami is always known for being underdogs, no matter what we do and what level we take it to. Being underdogs is what I've always felt about FIU. Fighting, clawing their way to just be seen, to be recognized, whether it be from education, business, or through sports. Yeah. So what do you think? Mr. Worldwide, 305.
At FIU, we don't stop the party. Do. Hey!
He better be doing at least one halftime show per year.
Oh, he should do a halftime show for every... He should do a performance of one song in between every quarter the entire season for every home game.
Three performances
per home game. Pre-show in the parking lot. Post-show at a fucking fan's name drawn at random's house that night.
Holy shit. You're clearly drinking at this point. Good God. But yeah, Pitbull is now getting into the college athletics. Also, that's another thing too. If he's not in college football 25 at some point, it's a crying shame. FIU's definitely on, like, in the game, right?
What conference are they? They're D1, right?
I would think so.
Then they got to be in the game. I have to get the game.
Yeah, yeah. Load it up. See if they've already put Pitbull in.
No, I can't. Get the fuck out of here.
All right, I have two more. Tony, if you don't have any, but
go ahead, fire away.
Perfect. A Jack in the Box out in Missouri is having quite the week after a woman in St. Louis is facing charges, assault charges, after allegedly running over a Jack in the Box employee who replaced her missing chicken strip but forgot to put ranch dressing in her bag. Tulane Carter, aged 41, went to the Jack in the Box on July 16th, complained about a missing single chicken strip from her order she received from the fast food establishment that previous Saturday evening. And according to a probable cause statement, the court document said that the store manager replaced that missing chicken strip to appease Carter. However, then Carter became unhappy with the lack of ranch dressing provided. She then spit in the manager's face. Then Carter left the restaurant. Manager used a different exit to document her license plate. And according to the probable cause statement, Carter then noticed what the manager was doing. She turned towards her, ran into her shoulder and said, quote, "You're trying to get charges put on me," end quote. Carter then entered her car, reversed and accelerated backwards into the manager, striking her left foot and ankle and throwing her to the ground. The court document says that Carter fled the scene, but was later apprehended by officers with the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department on July 17th. The manager's ankle was visibly swollen and bruised from being run over by Carter's vehicle, according to the court filming. Carter has been charged with second-degree assault, a felony, fourth-degree assault, a misdemeanor, and Missouri court's records show that Carter has remained incarcerated at the St. Louis Justice Center since July 17th. She does not have a bond, according to state court records. USA Today did try to reach Carter's attorney, but no one picked up. Tony. Look, man, you're going to get them chicken strips. Better satisfy. Better give me them saucy nugs. You know what I mean? I know that's Wendy's, but you don't fuck with Chick-fil-A.
There's two things to mention of this story. One is the ranch sent the person over the edge. And listen, this is something that certain types of people that must have ranch, they'll carry their own ranch around with them. Like, I've heard of that, right? Two, you came back 3 days later because you're missing a chicken tender. 3 days later. Really? 3 days.
And those Jack in the Box people, they gave her a chicken strip. They gave her one 3 days later. That's really fucking impressive. She must have called that night. You know what I mean? Like, and then just wasn't able to get back until 3 days later. Because there's no way that makes any sense otherwise. But, you know, it is St. Louis and shit be crazy.
I just stumbled upon something here that I think I could make a weekly segment because there's a lot of stuff here, but I have one particular thing. How would you like to hear some old news? I'm talking
right.
November
on this day.
No, I'm talking Well, I'll have to work a little harder. Maybe I can find them on this day. But for now, for the first one, this is from the National Republican from November 23rd, 1881.
Oh, all right.
A new sea monster.
Oh.
A peculiar sort of sea monster has been seen down near Atlantic City on the Jersey Shore. He has frightened the women and children in the neighborhood almost out of their wits. He has been seen by but one man who described him as looking more like a bear than anything else. He was seen by the light of the moon coming out of the swamp and plunging into a sad showing. And okay, hold on. This is an old newspaper clip. And plunging into the sea and showing the tail of a big fish. This is my favorite part of the fucking story. This is it. Every man with a gun and a porch trick for miles around here has gone gunning for the extraordinary amphibious monster. That almost feels like that one should have been like, I'm going to do a little sea monster.
Oh, I was listening for like the scratchy radio ad.
There it is, right there.
Yeah, everyone from here to Nantucket looked for the sea monster, but none was found.
I feel like Nucky Thompson from Boardwalk Empire will be down there searching for this new monster.
All right, Tony, I have one final story for you. And I do, by the way, I do enjoy that segment. Let's go back and find an on this day, because I'm sure... Dear Lord, there's probably some terrible shit from, God knows, 100 years of news.
Great idea.
Mary Jacobs of Newmarket, England, has a rather unusual collection that she has put up for sale. Her collection containing 163 unique items failed to sell at auction. And now,
I know
before
what this
I tell you what this
I know yes, what it is. I heard it on the radio. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Don't make me guess.
Mary quote said she started her unusual obsession at the Newmarket Salvation Army Hall in 1984. And quote said, I saw one of these things come in and I bought it for 64 cents. And that was the start. I just wanted to collect something different. She told the Suffolk News. It snowballed from there, and I found myself going round to so many places to try to add my collection. Well, Jacobs is now the owner and will forever be the owner of 163 different bedpans and has run out of room to store any of them. She also said, I had a cupboard built to store them in my front bedroom, but I'm getting older and need to clear some space. I hope they go to a good home. They're clean, washed, and in fantastic condition. She did attempt to offload her collection earlier this month in an auction conducted by Bateman's, but the tiny toilets failed to attract bidders. Offered for sale in 17 group lots, varying from 6 to 12 bedpans in each, including such classics as the, quote, the improved ideal bed and douche slipper, and a, quote, Jones Wear Relax number 500. We are sure there is something for everyone who desperately needs to go. That's what the auction house had listed, had in their listing, I should say. 163 bedpans.
Yeah.
Tony. I'm sure we've all have our fair share of weird and intricate or unique like collections and obsessions.
I actually have a favorite bedpan.
What's the name?
It's the one Austin used to club Vince McMahon over the head with.
Okay, fair enough. I would like you to do some homework for next week.
You want me to
find out what brand that is.
It was steel, wasn't you know? It?
I still want to know who made it. Damn it.
Yes, Kohler.
You can't get that anymore.
Probably Kohler.
Could you say Kohler or Colin?
bicolor for your colon.
Well, that is the end of this week's episode of The Oddity. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, we do this because we want to put a different spin on the news you hear each and every week. So please send us your stories. If you hear anything, you got any of those local articles, we will gladly read that and read them out loud because, dear Lord, we can't read every newspaper in a given week. For PC Tunney, I am Dave Wirtz. Keep the news ridiculous, folks.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.